Good morning. So I always start this way, and then afterwards they always say, why do you have to make excuses? But I'm not a pastor. I love working with your children, and I'm comfortable in front of your children. Being up here makes me nervous. So I like to say that so that when my voice shakes or I get emotional or something happens, you can give me grace. I do invite the Holy Spirit to come because this is not about me. This is not about what I am going to say today. It may be very quick and you may be glad that you get out early. But God's Holy Spirit is in this place and I feel His presence and I pray that you can too. And the reason that I know that is because as I was sitting there thinking about what I was going to say and how I was going to present, I was reminded that the songs that already have been sung were exactly to go along with the message, and I didn't ask them to sing a certain song. I didn't know what they were going to sing. And when the prayer was prayed by John, he was praying to invite the Holy Spirit, and I was standing there thinking, I need to say a prayer before I begin and invite the Holy Spirit. And he prayed that. And so I believe that God is already at work in this place, and I'm very thankful for that. So this is about what God wants to say to your heart, not what Lynn can say or not say. The name of my sermon is Catch Me. When Pastor Jonathan asked me to fill in this morning, I thought, it'll be a good opportunity for you to get a little taste of what we do with the elementary kids. We have a brand new curriculum called Orange, and every week we have a different lesson to go along with a theme for the month. And this last month's theme was The Hunt. Wisdom is worth searching for. And so since we were in here, as the children were in here on the fourth Sunday last month, they would have missed this lesson. So I thought, perfect opportunity to share that with you. And I felt like that's what God wanted me to share too. In fact, when Jonathan asked me to speak a week ago, and yeah, that's all he gave me, and I don't have any prepared sermons like the other preachers do. I have four sermons I've ever preached here. And so I can't do those. And so, okay, 1 week. And I was going to speak. I thought, okay, I'll just do the lesson that we normally would have had today. Well, that was what he preached on last week. And I thought, thanks a lot. But anyway, our theme was wisdom is worth searching for. And every week, we have a bottom line we want the kids to leave with. And the first week of last month was, if you want to be wise, search for wisdom. The second week was, if you want to be wise, look before you leap. The third week was, if you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. And the fourth week, what we're going to focus on today is, if you want to be wise, trust God to give you wisdom. It's something that I believe God is specifically speaking to me in my own heart. And so maybe His Holy Spirit will only speak to me. But I really believe that He's telling me I need to trust Him for wisdom. First, let's start by looking at what dictionary.com says it means to be wise. Wise. Having the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right. Possessing discernment, judgment, or discretion. So what makes a person wise? Education. We all know people who are very book smart, but they're really no smarter than a box of rocks. We also know people who are very intelligent because of their education. So, no, wisdom is not from your education. Your age, is that what makes you smart? Some children are wiser than their peers or their adults who are in their life. And some of us would be very smart based on our age if we went by age. So no, it's not age. Experience. Is experience what makes you wise? No, because the school of hard knocks is a good lesson teacher, but it's not what makes you really wise. It's God's word that makes you wise. Let me give you an example. I read this week about Henry Ford, the automaker, who asked an electrical genius, Charlie Steinmetz, to build generators for his factory. One day, the generators ground to a halt, and all the repairmen they called in couldn't find the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, and he tinkered with the machines for just a short time, and then they threw the switch, and they came to life. And Ford got a bill for $10,000. Flabbergasted, he called him up and he said, "Why is this so high?" And he said, "Well, for tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. So he paid the bill. Steinmetz was wise in his knowledge of what he had made. He had the wisdom no one else possessed to fix the problem. Here's another scenario. My car stops in the middle of the road. I decide it would be best to consult my mechanic. You know, Google. Too many possibilities. So I cross-reference a specialist. You know, YouTube. And it turns out it isn't that hard of a fix. So I'm out there along the road and I just think, oh, this isn't going to be hard. I remove a few bolts, I unclip a few hoses, I unplug a few wires, and before you know it, my car looks like this. I'm never going to get it back together. Or imagine a little home kitchen remodel. We just need to patch some drywall. Maybe install a cabinet over here. But the more you get into it, the more problems you find until your house looks like this. Hard to bounce back from that one. Of course, in my situation, I personally could have just called in my expert, Charles, who probably would have taken care of both of those things for me. But the truth is, we all find ourselves in situations in our lives where we really don't know what's best. We really don't know what direction we should go. We really don't know how we should move forward. We find ourselves at the end of ourselves and thinking, I guess I'm just not good enough. When we find ourselves in a spot where we aren't so sure what to do or the right way to go, our first move should not be to trust in our own way and our own understanding. Our first move is to trust God and His way and ask Him for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and it will be given to you." So, kids, teenagers, what does this look like from a perspective that you might be facing? Let's look at a portion of the video clip that our kids would have watched in this lesson to see what I'm talking about. And it's going to take a minute for them to get to it because they've got to fast forward through all of the funny that they normally would watch. I didn't really think you needed to see all the funny, but we're going to go back and we're going to watch this video. Okay, are we ready, guys?
But it's a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs.
Ah, great. Take it away.
It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, remember Him. Then He will make your path smooth and straight." I think the best way to talk about these verses might be to simply tell you guys a story of when I was a kid. Hey, John and Lawson, you know the story. Can you help me out?
Sure, Kellen.
On it. Great. So let's say this is sixth grade me. I was still super skinny, but not quite as tall. And when I went from fifth grade to sixth grade, it was a pretty big transition. Going to middle school was a little scary. A lot of new people and some new problems for me. One of those problems was a guy named Brett. Let's see Brett. Here's the thing about Brett. This guy was scary. He was bigger than the other kids, and he wasn't nice. To put it simply, he was a bully. And I was one of the kids he chose to pick on. So, here I am the first day of school.
Oh boy, middle school! Today is going to be a great day!
Hey, Beanpole!
Who, me? Beanpole, haha, that's funny.
Yeah, you found your locker yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, I found it for you!
So that was day one, but he didn't let up.
Dooby 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 doo. Walk, walk, walk to school. Wow!
Oh! Sorry, man. You're so skinny, I didn't even see you.
Oh!
Oh! I'm a funny guy. I'm funny.
I tried all kinds of things. I tried to avoid Brett. I took a different route to class, but Brett still would find me.
Oh, yes. Rectangular pizza day. My favorite.
Hey, Colin. You know what? You're so skinny. Do your parents not feed you? I'm worried about you. Here, have some of my food.
My pizza.
There you go. You're welcome.
No!
It was tough. I talked to some of my teachers, which helped some, but Brett just didn't care. I was trying to depend on my own understanding, but it wasn't stopping Brett. And then I talked to my mom, and she told me I should pray about it. And do you know what God did when I asked him for help?
He turned Brett into a pillar of salt?
No.
Two she-bears came out of the locker room and ate Brett.
What
happened?
No.
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing? Hey, Callan, I don't know if that's good for ratings.
But it's true. At least nothing changed at first. Brett was still a bully. He still called me names. My situation didn't change. But you know what did start to change? Me. God changed me. God showed me how to handle conflict, how to find trust and hope in Him. It wasn't always easy, but I learned a lot about myself. And the craziest thing happened. I started praying for Brett. God helped me realize that maybe there was some stuff Brett had going on that made him act the way he did.
Hmm. Did you guys become friends after that?
Well, later in the year, we were put together for a class project. And while we didn't become best friends, I got to find out a little bit about Brett. And we started talking to each other, at least. I don't think I ever would have been able to do that if I hadn't prayed to God.
Wow. You know what? That is cool, Kellen. That's really cool. Thanks.
No doubt. See you guys next time.
Later, dude. You know, I love that.
And I love that, too. It's a great reminder that if you need wisdom, ask God for it.
Yeah, and He'll give it to you. But just know His answer can sometimes be very different than what we expect.
Ooh, you know what that makes...
So did you catch what he said about what changed in his situation? Nothing. Instead, God showed him how to handle conflict and how to find trust and hope in Him. It turns out that at the end of ourselves is where God really wants us to live. Not confident in our own strengths and abilities, but rather seeking Him each day to lead us. Trusting Him to be the source of our thoughts, our actions, and our strengths. Not be all you can be, but God will help you to be what He wants you to be. Not life is all dependent upon me and these expectations and pressure are too much, but rather, I can't do it, God, but You can. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. So how do we as adults, as teens, as kids, trust God more than we trust ourselves? Well, I read an illustration this week that I really feel like God wants to use to change my life completely. A writer and priest named Henry Nouwen became fascinated in the last years of his life with a group of trapeze artists called the Flying Rodleys. There was something about their courage, their soaring, their trusting, and their dependence on one another that inspired him. So Nolan visited with Rodley, and he asked, "What is it that is so fascinating about this to me? What is it? I just can't put my hand on it." And he said, "As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I'm the great star of the trapeze as I fly through the air, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump." And I said, "Well, how does it work?" "The secret," Rodley said, "is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely behind the catch bar." "You do nothing?" I said. "Nothing," he repeated. "The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. If I grab Joe's wrist, I might break them. Or he might break mine, and then we're both at our end. A flyer must fly, and a catcher must catch. And the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him. My part is to trust, surrender, and give up my life. God's part is to catch, to hold, to do in me and for me what I can't do for myself." Job 11:13 says, "Surrender your heart to God. Stretch out your hands to Him." So, what am I trying to figure out in my own strength? What are you trying to figure out? For what do I need wisdom? Is it my marriage? Is it how I'm going to be a mom or a mother-in-law to adult children? I've never done this before. Is it how to be a grandma to four little kids who call me Nana and I don't know how to be a grandma? Is it my financial situation and how that can change from week to week to car breakdown to situation after situation? Is it my new job that I started 6 months ago and how I'm still trying to learn that? My husband's trying to learn a new job at his job. Is it that my husband's at the Mech Center right now with pink eye? What is going on in my life that I need to trust Him? Is it how to have aging parents? Is it how to get older myself? I've never been old before. Well, some of you think I am, but, you know. Is it how to change a bad habit? Is it what to write for a sermon when I'm not a preacher? Is it my health? Is it my fitness? Is it my ministry? Is it my friendships? My list could go on, and your list can go on. And your list is different than my list, but it doesn't make your list any more important to God than my list is important to God. These are the things that keep me awake at night, and they're probably the things that keep you awake at night. They're the things that bring you stress and worry. These are the things that God says, "Do you want wisdom on these? Are you opening your hands wide and releasing them to me? But my response might be, what if? What if I release it and you don't fix it? What if I release control and my will and my desire? And what if you don't do it the way I want you to do it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Remember the illustration of Henry Ford? He called in the creator of the generator who knew where to tinker. Well, it turns out the creator, the maker of the generators, was very wise. It turns out our creator and our maker is very wise. He made you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you can handle. He knows exactly what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows exactly what's going on in your marriage, in your finances, in your home, at your job, with your little children. He knows what is going on. Do we trust Him to tinker with our life? And will we release it to Him? Remember what Henry Nouwen, the trapeze artist, said. The flyer does nothing. The catcher does everything. And the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him. Before Jesus, our perfect example, went to the cross, he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." He released it back to God, into God's hands. And then when he hung on the cross, he stretched out his hands and he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he trusted the catcher. For us, it means trusting in the catcher. God, we can't be afraid. Remember, you're valuable to Him. Each of us are valuable to Him. Whether you're a small child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're middle age, whether you're a senior citizen, you're valuable to Him. Your life matters to Him, and He cares about every single detail. And He wants your permission to tinker in what's going on. But you have to be able to release it. I thought of a song this week. I release it to you. And I stood in the house when no one was home and I just sang it at the top of my lungs. And I don't sing. I can't sing very well. And I held out my hands and I said, "I release it to you, God. I release it. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what retirement looks like. I don't know what it means to take care of a 2-year-old. I don't know what it looks like to have a health condition. I don't know whatever, fill in the blank. I don't know how to do it. But I release it to you." Don't try to grab Him, and He'll grab you. Just stretch out your arms and your hands and let Him catch you. Let's pray. I thank You, God. I thank You so much that this life was never meant to be lived on our own strength. God, when You created Adam and Eve, You created them to walk alongside of them. You walked and talked with them every day. God, when You made them, You never intended for them to solve life's problems all on their own. You never intended for them to have to figure out how to take care of the animals or how to feed them or what to do, or you didn't intend that. And God, when you made me, you didn't intend for me to have to figure out my life on my own. Your deepest desire is for me to surrender to you and to confess to you my sin and my shortcomings and my problems and my difficulties and my struggles and release it to you and let you catch me. It doesn't mean that I don't have to do work. I still have to fly. I still have to soar, but I can soar with you in your strength. My marriage can be wonderful because you are in control of it. My finances can be miraculously taken care of because you're in control of it. My job can be exactly every day who you want me to speak to, how you want me to do it, what you want me to do, because you're in control. The kids who go to school can face that bully. They can face that test. They can face life because you are in control. As we sing this song, if you want to come and pray, we'll take just a few moments to pray.